Hey, Mary Louise O'Donnell, good morning to you.
Thank you.
You have been talking to young people about something very important to young people, the new children's hospital and what it should look like and what it should include.
Yes, and it was a most uplifting time with the 12 or 13, 14 young people I met, because they are part of the Youth Advisory Panel, which was set up to input into the design and the services of the new children's hospital, and also into Crumlin, Talla and Temple Street, and now into the National Paediatric Hospital. So they are a wonderful council that was brought together and supposed to broaden the spectrum. And they were established in 2011. They represent all the hospitals. There are 21 young people on the council.
They're speaking from experience.
Absolutely. Do you know what? They're speaking from 70 years experience, because most of them have been in hospital because of their conditions from 2 years of age, and they're now 17 and 18 years of age. They're from all over Ireland, 70 years experience, so they have a lot to say. And it was really to give them a voice with this new hospital, and also to give the quality of paediatric care in Ireland a voice, and to create, you know, an atmosphere to educate staff and medical students and administrative people in the hospital, and to develop improvements. And you see, their insights are enormous because they have been there so long. They're also so practical, and they understand resources. They've also made contributions to the educational material we would have about hospitals that would be on the website, and they're going to have a video on their website, on the National Children's Hospital website, over the next few weeks. And their feedback would be very constructive, and their recommendations would be very constructive. So it was very interesting meeting them, because it was like meeting experts, but you were meeting experts that were very young. And that's the one thing I said to them: why should we listen to you? And they said, because of our experience, because we tell the truth, because you can trust us, because we're outspoken. And have you been in hospital for 70 years between the whole 12 of us? So it was very uplifting and very informative.
Put it like this: dividing 12 into 70 is very nearly 6 years each then.
Oh, yes. I mean, they would have been in hospital. You see, most of them, and I don't mind, they don't mind me talking about this at all. First of all, I met Mark Dowling, Sinead McGuinness, Connor Kerwin, Orla Jackman, James Kerwin, Leon Ennis and Anne Fox. And they were from Dublin, Swords, Tullow, Shankill, Rathcoole and Clondalkin. Now, they don't worry about talking about their conditions or that, because they've lived with their conditions. They have lived with leukemia, areas of cardiology. They have lived with transplant, rheumatology. So there are people that have conditions, and also they're fighting back, coming through, standing up, and they're alive, and they have their lives back. And they spoke about everything from how the hospital had kept them alive, how we need an adult hospital near a children's hospital because of the transition between the teenager and the adult, and the child, teenager and adult. Orla Jackman spoke about what art meant to her. She's a beautiful artist, and how her art got her through her sickness, and that her whole intercert art was about her feelings and the hospital. And she showed us pictures of what she drew, so that art propelled her through. James Kerwin from Shankill. Now, I thought he was extraordinary. He's been very unwell since he was about two or three. He's in Colosh Owen doing his leaving certificate. He wants to be you. He wants a job in radio. And I said to him, do you know, he's a wonderful voice and a great speaker. He's had a transplant, a kidney transplant, and he has had a liver transplant. And he's had a very, very hard time. And he was a long time in Crumlin with a kidney disease, and a long time through the transplant. But he spoke about that he was a human being in a bed, and that the machine may be fine, but he's not fine. And that sometimes, you know, in medicine, people look at the machine, and if the numbers in the machine are great, then the child is great. You need to speak to me, he said. Deal with me. Look at my face. The machine and the patient are two different things. One gives the reading, but the other can tell you where it hurts. And he said, I went through transplants. The doctors didn't. I know what I'm talking about. People think if you don't look sick, you're not sick. And if you're not treated as though you're sick when you don't look sick. But he said, the hospital kept me alive, and my mother. And sometimes he says, you're not respected as a child. You don't understand. But you do understand, because you've been there a long time. Leon Ennis from Rathcoole spoke about communication. Courtney Keeley spoke about that adults sometimes in with children only ask questions about blood that they don't examine. But the one thing that came, if I said, what was the one thing that they told me about what they learnt, it was, and what the new hospital, the new children's hospital should do, first of all, get built, they said, but secondly, communication. That communication, bedside manner, logic, not letting off steam, being easy to talk to, being honest and being gentle. If the doctors aren't sure, go away and find out. Doctors to spend more time with them. You've got to feel at home. You've got to get well in a place that's well. The child services into adult services is a massive transition. Like if you were in the children's hospitals and then you go off into Vincent's, first of all, they said that 80% of their experience was brilliant. They only remember the 20%, of course, that was hurtful or that didn't that they were frightened or scared by. But that you the transition is very hard into the adult services because as a teenager, you're no longer a child and you're not an adult. So you're kind of left in the middle. They spoke about they need their own rooms, maybe privacy. They spoke about the doctors needing to communicate more. They spoke about educating cleaners, educating administrative staff. They also had designed the rooms. I said, well, what was the design? Well, we did a mock-up. We didn't want ceiling to floor windows because that frightened us looking out if the building was very high. We want privacy, but we want them to be able to see us as well. We want colours and shapes. We don't want cartoons in a wall because we're not four-year-olds. We're not two-year-olds. We don't want to be beside babies who cry a lot and are very... and you know, who want rugrats. We're 14 and 15. We want other things. We don't want to go into an operating theatre as somebody else is coming out. We'd like the doctor to wear funny ties, to speak in plain English, and have a sense of humour. And if you don't know the patient, read the chart. And don't leave us in the middle of a consultation. You know what happens in hospitals. I'll get right back to you. And a doctor goes down the corridor because he's very urgently called somewhere else. Create a garden for us in the new hospital. Big garden. Because they get well for a long time. You know, they're not ill all the time, but they just have to spend time in hospital. Create a movie night, Chinese, Italian food. Create a chill room we can go. Get somebody to give us the couches. You know, donate the couches we can chill out so that we can have friends and meet other people confidence in the hospital. Because friends who come in aren't ill, but there are other fellas and girls who are ill and you can have a confidant who may be going through the same thing as you're going through. Make the experience as normal as possible. Have something to look forward to. I know I'm kind of on a rant today.
You're fine, because
they had so much to say. Have an art room, maybe a music room. Look for sponsorship and donations.
But like, Marie-Louise, it's all very well for you to be hearing these wonderful thoughts and observations, but who in a position of power is listening to them as well? Are they the designers of the new hospital talking to them? So
and they presented to the Dolphin Group and they presented to Eilish Hardiman, who is the new CEO, and they've presented to the Ombudswoman
Emily Logan.
And they are presenting to, and they are an advisory council and they are taken seriously, and now some of them are doing the leaving, some of them are in fifth year, some of them are back and forward, some of them are out of hospital, but they meet five or six times a year. So they are the council, and they're so generous because they're speaking for other children now who don't have the capacity to speak for themselves and might be very ill at the moment and might need them. And of course, the hospital, who better to tell the hospital designers how it should be designed? And who
Where
better
did this idea come from?
Oh, well, I think it came, well, it has a kind of a history through Scotland. There was an advisory council in Scotland, but also, to be fair to Crumlin, and much has changed in Crumlin and in Temple Street, you know, and in Talla. That children stay in hospital now, their opinions and feelings and ideas and information is and education is taken on board. So it grew out of that, and then it morphed into YAC, as they call it, the Youth Advisory Council. They also have some wonderful people like Brenda Ryan, who is the chairperson of the Advisory Council. Now, I love Brenda because she's the parents' advocacy manager in Our Lady's Hospital. And she said, you know, an interesting thing. When children are in hospital and become teenagers and early adults within the hospital system, they begin to understand boundaries and limitations, that they have to be part of a whole mix, that it's not a hotel or a playground, and that the hospital is committed to getting them well and at the same time making the place well for them to stay there. Liz Harper, a facilitator for the Young Advisory Council, and that these people are to be the face of the new children's hospital. Charlotte O'Dwyer, nurse manager in Talla. So you have a lot of people coming together to make this. Because, you know, children get better. The lovely thing about it was they bounced back. They're full of life. And one of them said, you know, that being in hospital, I think it was Orla Jackman said, she's a better person. She didn't mean that she had to go through that. That was the lot she was given. She got leukemia. But she's a better person because of the way she grew within the system. And she's out the other side of it now and her life's ahead of it. And she has no sense of negativity. You know, I was very impressed by that because you're in bad humour going in and then you bounce out of the place because here are people. And as Mr. Jackson said to me, or James Kerwin said to me, well, who better to ask than people who have faced mortality, who have faced a major change in their lives or a major sickness, who better to ask for advice than us? And we'll give you good advice and we will give you honest advice and we will give you advice that can be used
this
well.
This seems to be happening on two levels. One, yes, about the rooms, the building of the hospital and so forth. And then secondly, maybe more importantly, how they are treated as individuals when they're in there.
But in my dealings, here on radio with you and in my round the country and even in politics, communication is the core of most things. Like, we forget sometimes we're so... And of course, machines do keep people alive, but the machine is the numbers and that they're in the bed. And we have to constantly remind ourselves because people are very busy in hospitals and they have their own, feelings and emotions and they bring their own realities in the door, nurses and administrators and cleaners. But it's terribly important. And they've been speaking to RCSI and nurse managers and nurse trainers and nurse educators. You know, they've been trying to educate all the time people who work with the young and who work with the sick. But mainly they said 80% of their experience was wonderful. And they said without the hospital, they wouldn't be alive. They were very, and without their mothers.
Indeed,
and their families.
How realistic, though, is it? How much of this do you think is going to be taken?
Oh, it has to. It has to. We are paying 650 million for the hospital. They were very pro the hospital at St. James's because I said, would you not like it at a greenfield site? And the reason was, first of all, they didn't want to start again because you need all the equipment. And James's is an outstanding hospital, so you need that there. They think a maternity hospital should be built there as well. It's central. It's in the middle of the city because they need the machines. They need the already. They need all those moments that are there to keep them alive. So they were very pro that. Do I think, yes, it has to. I mean, we sold the lottery license. I mean, I was out of my placards about that. I was very angry about that for the 240 million towards the Children's Hospital. And it has to be built and built quickly because our youth and our elderly are the most important aspects of our society and we must make sure that they are well and always well.
Okay, well, look, it's a very interesting idea, very interesting concept. And thank you for that report, Mary Louise. You wanted to mention something you're doing for
us
later in the week?
Yes, I do. I am going on Thursday. I am going down to Palace Green in Limerick. I'm looking forward to it because in Palace Green in Limerick, they are reenacting the trial and the imprisonment of Christ, which happened on Holy Thursday. And then on Friday, they are doing the act Pontius Pilate and the actual crucifixion. And they're doing it in the open with actors. And I think it's a marvellous idea. And I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm there on Thursday, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'll come in and tell you all about it on Friday.
Wide awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, as ever. Mary Louise O'Donnell, thank you very much indeed for joining us and we'll have more after the break.